talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Good morning and welcome to We Are Movie Geeks podcast. I'm Tom Stockman.
Michelle McHugh.
Jim Batts.
And today is December 14th. That means all the Christmas movies are opening or have opened. So we've got a lot to talk about.
And are still meandering around the top 12 domestic box office estimates.
Yeah, I was going to say. The only Christmas movie that matters is Love the Coopers, and it's been out a while, so people are just go see that again.
You're going to ask for it then, off the 12.
Yeah, night before.
It's still talk about the top 12 there, Michelle. Is Love the Cooper still on there?
It is.
Wow.
Number 12.
The lump of coal that never goes away.
It's a Christmas movie. I know. So still sitting at number one, in the number one spot is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2.
I don't know anybody who's seen that.
3 million. Star Jennifer Lawrence received her fourth Golden Globe nomination last week for her role in Joy. Hunger Games has taken in $244 million in the U.S., worldwide over $800 million in the bank to date. So doing well.
So long, Hunger Games.
But none of us have seen it.
Don't let the door hit you in the arrow there.
At number two is In the Heart of the Sea from Warner Brothers Pictures with an estimated $11
million. You were saying 12 the other day, Michelle, and couldn't even make that.
Dang. Yeah. It's not even doing well overseas. Ron Howard's epic tale about the shipwreck of the Essex, which inspired Herman Melville's Moby Dick, was made for a reported $100 million, and that's not with marketing.
So the movie is down below, say, at the bottom of the sea with the exits.
Here we go. Bring it. Just keep going. Yeah.
It's sunk.
Disney's The Good Dinosaur is number three with $10.5 million. Pixar saw Golden Globe nominations last week for both The Good Dinosaur and Inside Out. The movie now has a total of $89.7 million.
You kind of saw for Pixar, but like I say,
it really is.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's just a few months after one of their strongest ones. Mm-hmm. So I can't expect them all to be home runs, I suppose.
Right. At number four is Creed with $10.1 million. The total since its release is $79.3 million. Sylvester Stallone received a Golden Globe nom this past week, 40 years after he received his first Golden Globe nomination for the same character.
Do you know co-starred in Creed, he's the same age that Burgess Meredith was played the trainer Rocky in 1976. They were both 69 years old.
Oh, boy. It's the same thing with Mark Hamill and Alec Guinness. I guess they're the mm-hmm. same age.
Yeah. Stallone aged a little better than Burgess Meredith.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's all that waddling in the Batman TV show did him in there.
Cigarettes.
Good one. Yeah. Universal's Krampus was number five with $8 million. Director Mike Doherty's film domestic total now stands at $28.2 million. Yay. Number six is Spectre from Sony with $4 million. And number seven was Sony Pictures The Night Before, another Christmas themed movie.
That's holding in there pretty well.
It is.
Like, yeah.
3.9 million. Number eight is the adorable Peanuts movie. Yeah. $2.6 million.
Which I can tell you, I know we want to cover, but if you want to take your kids to a matinee, that's a great choice.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm wondering if it'll pick up over the holiday season that we're just approaching.
You got those chipmunks.
That's right.
My word. Slowly expanding are the Oscar contenders Spotlight and Brooklyn. They landed in the 9th and 10th spots. Both in their 6 weeks of limited release, the films continue to crack the top 10 with $2.5 million and $2 million respectively. At number 11 is The Martian. Ridley Scott's movie saw $1.4 million at the box office and Golden Globe nominations last week, three of them for Best Picture, Director, and Actor for Matt Damon. And finally at number 12, once again, Love the Coopers. It's just not...
Won't go away.
Won't go away.
It's the rash that won't leave. It won't clear up.
The herpes of cinema.
Some side notes and limited releases. Adam McKay's comic rendering of the economic collapse, The Big Short. It opened strongly with 720,000 in eight theaters.
Yeah, so did Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Paramount Pictures' release came into the weekend writing with good reviews and a wave of nominations from the Screen Actors Guild and the Golden Globes, where it landed four nods, including Best Picture Comedy, as well as nods for Steve Carell and Christian Bale. Opening on Friday is The Force Awakens, which is having phenomenal advanced ticket sales, plus 20th Century Fox's Alvin and the Chipmunks, Road Chip, and Universal Pictures Sisters.
So we won't have to talk about Hunger Games as number one again. Mm-hmm. So.
Maybe.
It's going to
be Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
It's going to be that road. No. Victor Frankenstein is going to make the greatest comeback in screen history.
I mean, it's not even on the 12.
No. It wasn't on the 12 last week.
No. Either that or it'll be Don Verdeen. We'll take over the number one spot. Mm-hmm.
film.
All right. Well, let's get started. We've got a few movies to review. Let's start with In the Heart of the Sea.
We will surely perish out there. We might also survive.
Don't you quit on me. We're going home.
Say it, Skip! Say it!
We all saw that last Monday night, I think we all liked it. I reviewed it for WeAreMovieGeeks.com, our website, and I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. That may have been a little on the generous side, but I thought it delivered in terms of spectacle. It sort of has some clunky dialogue, and it had a sort of a predictable story, and the characters weren't particularly well-developed. But I think Chris Hemsworth is a pretty excellent, has a lot of charisma and commanding presence, and I think he was well-cast, even though he had his shirt off and his golden locks blowing in the wind. That was a little on the cheesy side. But I thought he did a good job, and the whale attack scenes delivered. What'd you guys think?
Well, I think you were a little more generous than I would be. I think what will throw a lot of audiences is the great amount of time that's spent sort of lost at sea, so that it becomes sort of a cross between Unbroken and Castaway, of them sort of drifting and suffering.
Yeah. With a little cannibal Holocaust thrown in there.
With just a touch, but tastefully done.
Well, that's because it was told in a flashback structure, so when it got to the cannibal sequences, they were able to jump ahead to Brendan Gleeson describing the cannibalism as opposed to having to show it.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe, I didn't realize this till a couple of days ago, that Brendan Gleeson's character as a youth is Spider-Man.
He's the new
Spider-Man. Tom Holland.
He was a little underused, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except when they had to toss him inside the whale.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I did agree with Tom's 4 stars. I think it needed an October release date. Throwing it from March to December hurt it. It also, Chris Hemsworth, he's not quite that strong of a leading man yet to carry a film. So I think and it's a Ron Howard film. They needed to surround him with more bigger stars.
Well, yeah.
Bigger stars would have helped. The two female characters, and they needed to be big names. The other, some people, the 50 and above, who was the main demographic, went to see this movie, and you could tell they could probably, they knew the supporting actors, but they didn't know where they were from. There weren't anybody that, stood out.
Well, yeah, there's supposed to be a big conflict between his character and the captain, who's played by Andrew Walker. And
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
He's not fleshed out that character at all.
But it does have a fine score from Roche Banyos, which I hope people really discover, because it's one of the better scores of the year. It's Ron Howard.
I think the last pairing of Ron and Chris was a much better Rush.
Right.
But that didn't find an audience either. And I kept on telling people, even if you don't care about race cars and racing, it's a great movie.
Well, right. It didn't do very well in the Heart of the Sea. And I think if it had been released over the summer, it seemed like more of a summer movie.
I don't know why they pulled it from the summer.
Spring or fall,
no,
I'm thinking.
I'm thinking October. And even Chris Hemsworth, if he's not in Thor, look at his last Black Hat, Michael Mann's movie.
Black Hat's just terrible.
He's good as Thor. That was tricky casting Thor. You can imagine if they had the wrong actor as Thor. Thor is such a cheesy character.
But he's great when he's around big actors. I mean, he does well. So
I think he can find some success, past Thor. But not with this project, I guess. Or not with Rush, which he was very good in. So.
I'll be interested to see how Ron Howard's next movie is, because it's the continuation of the Dan Brown series, Da Vinci Code series. So that one's he's directing that now with Tom Hanks. So it'll be interesting.
I wish I had some enthusiasm for those. I saw the first one. That's about all I right.
cared
about. Right.
Has that franchise run its course? I mean, I years know. Later,
I didn't realize the second one was worthy of a sequel.
Yeah. Well, they
there's
been a few.
Yeah, there was Da Vinci Code and there was Angels and Demons. Yeah. Was that the right. second one? And that mm-hmm. was, what, about 6 years ago mm-hmm. or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I had no interest in seeing a follow-up, so I don't know.
Okay, so we like In the Heart of the Sea. Michelle and I liked it pretty much. Jim didn't like it quite as much as we did, but it's not doing very well anyway. Mm. So but go see it. I think it's worth seeing on the big screen.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's sort of a fun, good-looking epic. Yeah. All right, now we're going to review, or I'm going to review. Lucky me, I drew the short straw last week and had to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks Road Chip.
Now they're all hitting the road.
Tired.
By land.
I'm going to Miami. Does this look like a face that will survive prison?
By sea. By air.
What is that? Body shot!
No, not that, not that. Oh, no. Real smooth.
That's not mine.
Get it? Road trip.
Oh!
Because
they're chip mine. Yeah, it's a trip. Okay.
That's about the level of humor we're talking about here. You know, the first Chipmunks movie came out, I think, 2007, and it starred Jason Lee as David Seville, and he teams up with the Chipmunks, and... You know, it was pretty good because of Jason Lee and his interaction with these three critters.
Three CGI critters.
Yeah, and it was fun. Now, this is now the third sequel, so this is the fourth Chipmunks movie. And in parts 2, 3, and 4, they all open with Jason Lee, and they have some big, loud, comedic disaster. But then Jason Lee sits him down and says, I have to go out of town for a while. You guys be good. So then Jason Lee exits the film. And then they bring
cashes his paycheck.
Yeah. Then they bring in some Disney Channel actor or actress, and she teams up with the Chipmunks for three quarters of the movie. And then they bring Jason Lee back for the very end, and they do it again in this new one, Road Chip. But but he's gone to Miami with his girlfriend, and the Chipmunks realize that he's going to propose to her, and she has this teenage son who's staying with the Chipmunks, and he's kind of a bully to the Chipmunks at the beginning. So the Chipmunks decide that they have to go to Miami to stop the engagement so they don't have to live with this brother that they will have with this bully kid. And but they take this kid with them, so they all go on this road trip, and they're flying to Miami, but then they get kicked off the plane by the air marshal. Who was the actor that was in Rocket Man?
Harlan Williams?
Yeah, Harlan Williams plays... the federal air marshal.
How did I know that?
So it's really stupid. But they have to ground the plane because the Chipmunks let out all these animals that are in the baggage compartment. They don't explain why there was goats and birds and dogs.
We're transporting a
zoo. Yeah, exactly.
Like
they don't explain why all these animals
the
are
airline version of Life of Pi.
Exactly. But the Chipmunks let them out, and then... And then Harlan Williams, Harlan Williams follows them across the country. So they go to New Orleans. So Harlan Williams becomes this de facto villain, and you know, this comedic bumbling villain
takes over the David Cross role, I guess.
Yeah,
in the other Chipmunk films.
It's terrible. Then they go to New Orleans, and the New Orleans set looks nothing like New Orleans. It's just terrible. And they march in this band with these jazz musicians, and they play Uptown Funk in its entirety. The whole movie does this. Oh, it stops like every 10 minutes and does a musical number of some pop song. The Sir Mix-a-Lot? I Like Big Butts.
Oh gosh. Oh. That's an oldie.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And then they have some cameos too. Jennifer Coolidge shows up, and she does her Stifler's mom shtick as the floozy neighbor. But she has nothing funny to say. And then John Waters, we were talking about him last week, he shows up on the airplane, and he's sitting there, and Alvin comes up, and John Waters, you know, insults Alvin the Chipmunk. So Alvin says, "Don't judge me. I've seen Pink Flamingos," which I'm sure the 6-year-olds in the audience just thought that was hilarious. And they probably walked out and said, "Mommy, what's Pink Flamingos?"
Yep.
Oh.
So it's just terrible. It's not funny at all. They fart and they pee. key. And maybe, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 year olds might think it's really funny, but it's kind of depressing because it's just loud and noisy and they just break out into song. Nothing in the script is remotely funny. Oh. It's just kind of a miserable experience. And
I'm surprised this didn't go like right to DVD or Redbox or on demand. This sounds awful.
I guess they made enough money.
I guess the other ones that make enough money to make it worth their while to put it in theaters.
Which is scary how you prefaced it, 2, 3, and 4. I was like, oh no.
I've seen all four of these things. My kids, nine years ago, they liked the Chipmunks, and I couldn't even get them to go to this screening because now they're 12 and 16. They're not going to want to see the Chipmunks. The screening, I will say, was full of 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, and they seemed to be enjoying it, but really take them to see, you know, Peanuts or something a little more sophisticated.
Even the Good Dinosaur, sure.
Anything but this.
And if, you know, Inside Out, you know, go buy that, or if it's in your second run theater, go see that there.
So I can't recommend the Chipmunk. It's really bad. So I'll be reviewing Chipmunks Thursday night at WeAreMovieGeeks.com. You can go read my negative review in its entirety there. Another movie that we're going to review, which doesn't open until Christmas Day, but we've all seen it and we all liked it, is called The Big Short.
I found something really interesting.
The whole housing market is propped up on these bad loans. They will fail.
The housing market is rock solid.
It's a time bomb.
So Mike Burry, who gets his hair cut at Supercuts and doesn't wear shoes, knows more than Alan Greenspan.
Dr. Mike Burry, yes, he does.
Big Short stars. Who doesn't it star? That'd be a shorter
list. Well, it doesn't star Billy Barty. It's not his life story. He was a Big Short guy.
I love the ensemble cast that Adam McKay put together.
Yeah. Director Adam McKay brings us Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Christian Bale. And
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Melissa Leo is in there.
Marissa Tomei.
That's right.
First time that she's been back with Steve since Big Crazy Love or Stupid Crazy Love. Is that what it was? Yeah.
The film's based on the book The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine by Michael Lewis, who wrote, coincidentally, Moneyball, The Art of Winning an Unfair Game, which was Brad Pitt's movie, and The Blind Side, Evolution of a Game.
So he's got this is hat trick. He's got a third film based on his books. That's nice. Yeah, they had a nice profile of him yesterday morning on CBS Sunday Morning, and he's an interesting character. He was talking about Moneyball when that came out. He says, he wasn't sure if his mother had read his economics books. I said they're just too complex.
Speaking of complex, The Big Short is a very dense, complex film, and there is enough characters and plot twists for 3 or 4 movies. You really got to pay attention to it. And I did sort of like the way it slowed down at some point, and Ryan Gosling's the narrator, and he sort of looks at the camera and breaks the fourth wall and says, you may not quite understand what this term means, so here's a Margot Robbie in a hot tub in a bubble bath to explain it to you.
It was very clever.
They do that a couple of times. They do it with Selena Gomez at one point. And
Anthony Bourdain, talking about fish stew.
Yeah, but still, even regardless of doing that, it's a movie you really have to pay a lot of attention to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it really breaking through with mainstream audiences. I could be proven wrong. It is a very, very good movie, though.
Yeah, it's very, very well done. The editing is just expert in it. The trouble is that it sort of takes a turn in its third act, I think, when they go to this big conference in Vegas. And it loses that it's sort of a comedic sort of freight train up to that point, and then it slows down, and you could say it's a bit unsatisfying, but it's what happened. It's what really happened, and life is sometimes unsatisfying. It doesn't give you a happy ending. Sometimes it gives you a very sad ending, which kind of happens here.
Yeah, the terrific screenplay is from McKay with Charles Randolph, who wrote Love and Other Drugs and The Interpreter. Whenever they're having conversations together, and it's just, some of it's very glib, but it's dead on.
But you realize this is affecting people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun to laugh at these clueless bankers who are just so obnoxious and arrogant, and how they're taken down a peg. And a couple of people have told me, says, well, why didn't these guys, the main characters, Carell and all that, why weren't they warning people? And they were.
They were. Nobody listened to them. And Steve Carell's supposed to be sort of the voice of a conscience in the film, but he was making just as much as the rest of these guys.
And I think he's the standout performance. He's playing this hot-tempered hedge fund manager, Mark Baum.
Yeah, he's
the one who's
haunted by his brother's suicide.
Oh, exactly. He's very entertaining in it. Yeah, yeah. it's nice to see Carell with a nice, strong role. It's not Mr. Nice Guy either. No. He's kind of been playing the nice character in a lot of films lately. And, it's kind of a low-key turn from Brad Pitt. He plays a fellow that's sort of away from the game who's mentoring these two young guys. And he's, you know, if people are expecting, you know, him to be in the film quite a bit, it's a very, very much a supporting role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to see Brad Pitt, go see By the Sea. Oh, wait, you can't go see By the Sea. It's no longer playing.
That's right. Christian Bale is getting a lot of attention also as the fella that realizes what he's the first fella that realizes what's going on. And he's kind of an interesting character, kind of a goofball, sort of an economic savant. And no one is taking him seriously at all. And,
well, it's funny, by the time the market finally crashed in 2008, all these, you know, contrarian investors, they made billions and, you know, but you can tell they were all changed by this whole experience. And
yeah, it's a nice change of pace from the director Adam McKay, who's mostly known for Will Ferrell projects, you know, and this is something, you know, quite different.
Oh, but definitely.
But it's very, very well directed. It's a good script.
It did receive 2 SAG nominations and 4 Golden Globe nominations.
But like I say, I think people might be put off by the subject matter, but and they shouldn't. I think you know, if you're paying attention, you can follow it. But there's still a lot of stuff I'm not quite clear about.
I think it'll make my top 10 list. What about you guys?
Maybe top 20.
Yeah.
You know?
Not quite. I mean, it's one of the better films I've seen this year, but there's some good movies this year.
Yeah. It's been a strong year.
We'll talk about that.
There's
been a lot of bad movies this year, too. Let's not forget that. A lot of bad movies.
Oh, boy.
Even worse than the Chipmunks. All right. So we all liked Big Short a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good rainy day matinee movie.
I don't know if it's a great Christmas movie.
Oh no.
I don't know why they're opening it on Christmas Day.
We had a ton of people were running the contest for the screening, which is this week, and that was the most entries. The Big Short. Just saying.
All right. What are we seeing this week? Any movies open Friday?
The Chipmunks Road Trip, that's the big one.
That's the big one, yes, indeed. We're seeing Point Break. We're seeing that this week.
Who are the
actors in that?
Jake Lacy, Jake Bracy, something like that. Luke. And this Spanish guy that was in Joy.
I've
heard from a couple of people. It's like, why are they remaking it? Did the original Point Break come out in what, 93 or 92 or something?
1991.
It's kind of like, you know, what happened, I think it was last year, when they had the remake of RoboCop, and I was going, why?
Yeah, there's no reason to make Catherine Bigelow's movie. But it better have the, you know, gun up in the air.
And the Ronald Reagan mask.
The Keanu Reeves rolling over.
I think they have Obama and W mask in this one. Yeah, I saw, at least from the trailer, which I've seen the trailer. I've seen every screening practically, it feels like. But that's a Christmas Day one, I think, right?
Yeah. And we'll judge it after we see it.
Sisters, we're going to see tomorrow night.
Yay. Tomorrow night, yeah, and that's Amy Poehler and
Tina Fey.
We are looking for a yard artisan to do some work on our bushes.
I bet working on other people's bushes really makes you want to whack your weeds.
I was dirtier than I thought. I'm sorry, but I got dirty really fast.
Let's hope it's better than Baby Mama.
Yeah, which is not terrible. Yeah. You know, it's pretty.
Jim and I are really looking forward to Sisters.
I'm looking forward to it.
Looks funny.
But I'll judge it after I see it. Okay, and then Star Wars, of course, The Force Awakens opens. Actually, it opens Thursday, but you can't see it Thursday because all the screenings are going to be sold out.
We'll be
back, and we may or may not be seeing it.
One of the critics at our meeting yesterday, Tom, said, I'm sure it's just, you know, going to be, it's not going to live up to the hype. And I was like,
you could have said that about Mad Max.
It's true. Yeah. That's true. But,
good point.
But I'm sure, well, there were still a couple of people that didn't, I can't believe it. There were a couple of people that didn't like Mad Max. And it seems like, you know,
what? Off with their heads.
Yeah, really, exactly. Really. What?
And I talked to him yesterday at the film critics thing. But it's like, you know, it's like the finale of a TV series or the last film in a franchise. There's going to be somebody that's not going to, you know, appreciate or like it. But, you know, you can't please everybody.
Tonight's the big LA premiere. So tonight is the first time any critics, there have been a few who have been invited.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they have, there's 4 LA screenings for critics. But tonight's the first night that anybody will really
So we'll there'll be some tweets going out tonight, I assume, with some feedback on it. So we'll be back next Monday to review it, because I'm sure we'll all have seen it by then.
I would think so.
All right. Friday night, if you're looking for something fun to do, my favorite Christmas movie, and I'm sure it's Jim and Michelle's as well, is A Christmas Story.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's because you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare you!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
That is Friday night at Schlafly Bottle Works over in Maplewood. I will be hosting that. That is a fundraiser for Helping Kids Together, which helps to send kids with physical ailments on trips. This is the third year in a row I've hosted Christmas Story on Friday night. It's always a lot of fun. Remember the first time you saw Christmas Story? Did you see it at the theater?
I think it opened Thanksgiving weekend in 1982, and I was I saw it at a little small town suburban Chicago theater with a buddy of mine. I went over to his place to spend Thanksgiving, and he said, "Well, let's go see this." And I think there was maybe just a handful of us in the theater, and we were loving it.
I know. I saw it in Columbia, Missouri. I was in college down there, and I saw it at the theater. And then over Thanksgiving, I took my parents to see it again. But I think most people discovered it on TV, specifically Turner TNT, whatever that's called.
Turner Network Television.
There you go. I think that's where most people probably discovered it. And they started running it 24 hours.
Home video.
It grew this amazingly large cult following. And it's still, I mean, every time you see it, you find something new. It's the funniest damn movie.
And it's so quotable.
It is.
Yeah, well, I think it was last year when you screened it, we realized that we noticed that the old man, you know, Darren McGavin's character, his car, the tires are completely bald. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, but he's changing his tire.
Yeah.
That's before the big fudge.
So go check that out Friday night. Like I say, it's a fundraiser for a worthy cause. And then get up the next morning on Saturday and head over to the High Point at 10:30 a.m. They are showing Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye in White Christmas, which I had never seen until last weekend. We ran White Christmas.
I can't wrap my head around that. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
At Tenacious Eats Movies for Foodies. And I enjoyed White Christmas. It was a lot of fun, and it'll be a big turnout Saturday morning at the High Point, which would be the best place to see a big movie like White Christmas.
Now, did you notice somebody in an Oscar winner as a chorus
boy?
Yes,
I did.
You can see him quite clearly.
Yeah. George Chakiris. And that would have been 6 or 7 years before West Side Story.
So young.
But can you name a single movie he was in after West Side Story? I think The Young Girls of Roquefort, I think he was in. kind of a one-hit wonder, but, you know, good for him.
He wasn't the male Rita Moreno, that's for sure. He's not an EGOT.
Yeah.
That's for certain.
Yeah, he's still around.
As is Rita. I think Rita just got the Kennedy Center honors, as a matter of fact. But White Christmas is a great film. But a lot of people think that's the movie that introduced the song. But
That was the third movie to have the song. Actually, Bing had sung it in Holiday Inn, and he also sang it in a movie called Blue Skies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it was written about 10 years earlier by Irving Berlin, who claimed it was the greatest song ever written.
He claimed his song was. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote the greatest song of all time.
Coincidentally.
Not much of an ego on that kid. All right, so that's it for movies in St. Louis this week. Speaking of St. Louis, the St. Louis Film Critics Association, of which Jim and I are both members.
Oh, yes.
We had a big old meeting yesterday because we give out the all-important St. Louis Film Critics Association Best of Awards, and we will be announcing the actual winners, I guess, next Monday on our podcast.
Yeah.
But what we did yesterday was we narrowed it down to our top five or six in a couple of categories, I guess, and everybody turned in their favorite list. Nobody listened to me. Apparently, I was the only one that turned in Irrational Man, and Emma Stone in Irrational Man, and Parker Posey in Irrational Man. Irrational Man's not getting any love. That's really one of my top five favorite movies.
I think you're the only one loving that one.
I did love that movie.
Well, should we start with the lower stuff there, and then go work up to Best Picture, or what?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Should we even?
Oh, we can't do worst.
Can't do worst. Mm-hmm. We can't do worst.
That's
but
a secret. But love the Coopers.
Yeah, I was going to say it. A few people. It's up there. So best scene. I think it's a good sampling of the best scenes of the year.
Yeah, probably. Those are pretty.
But one was the walk between the Twin Towers and the walk, definitely. Which is another one of those films that nobody saw, which is a great film.
I watched the screener.
And that it was Paul Walker's farewell at the end of Furious 7, which a lot of people like. And the other one is mentioned is Creed's first fight. I guess that's the one that's all in one continuous shot from Creed, which is a fantastic scene.
By cinematographer Maurice Alberti.
Yes, and then the best scene in Room, according to several people, is Jack's escape, which will just have you on the edge of your seat in Room, the little boy, finally outside for the first time in his life. It's just an amazing sequence. But the one that everyone's talking about, Entertainment Weekly.
Mad Max?
No.
Mad Max was all great scenes.
But the one where they're flipping through with
But Entertainment Weekly's number one is the bear attack, which is just an amazing sequence.
Yeah, it is. I've watched it on my DVD screener a couple of times.
Oh, I'm going to have to show it. Make it an endurance test for a couple of my friends and just watch them squirm watching it. But it's just excruciating.
Now, I had the marijuana-induced cannibal munchies from Green Inferno, and apparently nobody else voted for that. That was a funny thing.
Well, nobody else voted from one of my favorites, which was from Anomalisa's when Lisa sings Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yes.
I thought that was a riveting sequence. But no one else appreciated it but me. When we were counting up the votes on Saturday Night, there's some interesting things that people zeroed in on. Yeah. But the pole vault attack is in there, Michelle.
One person mentioned that.
Oh, good.
But there was some love for the Day of the Dead sequence from Spectre at the start of it, and the rescue of Matt Damon and Martian. That's a great.
Well, I was going to say, how about the Martian where he gets to, he finally leaves Mars.
That it was when he was fertilizing the potato patch. There.
Okay, that too.
The next one, I guess, would be foreign language. And boy, we had to go to six on that because not enough people had seen.
I hadn't seen a couple of these. Phoenix got the most votes. I saw that. That was a German film about the Holocaust. Yeah. So, you got to throw a Holocaust movie in there. Good Night, Mommy. I saw that.
I watched my screener last week before I went to bed. That'll give you nightmares,
German thriller. I think I reviewed that here on the podcast.
That is disturbing.
Yeah, that's a really great one.
Yeah, Son of Saul, which has gotten a lot of accolades, but which, they haven't sent us screeners, and they didn't set up a showing for us.
I'm surprised with Sony Classic Pictures, too, on that.
And I think we both saw Wild Tales earlier this year.
It was nominated for an Oscar last year, so I'm not quite sure how it falls into the 2015
category. Well, they didn't show it to us till this year. Okay. So it played, I think, January or February at the Tivoli, as I recall.
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
And The Assassin is getting a lot of attention, and I might try to stream that this week and check that out. I guess they went with Pit Gett. Yeah, the divorce courtroom drama from Israel, which I reviewed for the site and saw, which is a pretty strong film. It's pretty interesting.
All right, let's move on to documentary. Amy got the most votes.
Well, Amy and Cartel Land.
I didn't see Cartel Land.
Cartel Land's good. I think you've got a screener of that. I would check
we
that
did.
Out. Best of Enemies is very interesting. It's the relationship between William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal, their debates on the air on ABC in the late 60s.
That's a riveting documentary.
Yeah. I have not looked at Hunting Ground yet. I might try to see that this week.
Hunting Ground's getting a lot of criticism because some of the, it's about campus rape, and some of these rapes that they're focusing this documentary on, it turns out probably never happened. So people are taking a second look at that movie.
Yeah, I don't think it really is a big contender for Best Doc. I think it's mostly Amy and maybe, Malala and maybe
although we didn't give Malala.
Yeah, it didn't get quite enough votes there. A lot of the folks, I haven't seen yet, The Look of Silence, which is sort of the follow-up to Act of Killing?
Yeah, Act of Killing.
The Act of Killing was the documentary. Mm-hmm. But this is about, eye doctor that's out to confront the killers of his brother or something?
I didn't see it. Okay, let's move on.
The best comedy.
Trainwreck got the most votes.
Yeah.
Spy. I think this is kind of a silly category, frankly.
Well, everyone, you know, always says, oh, the Academy doesn't, you know, recognize comedy. They don't recognize
horror films either.
Yeah, but Amy Schumer and Melissa McCarthy, good. I like those two.
And Inside Out, we got for Best Picture and Best Animated Film and now Best Comedy, too.
And then one of your favorites, Tom, Me and Earl the Dying Girl.
Which should have been, that was in the wrong category. That should have been over in the worst.
Oh, no. And you're the only one that voted for that as worst. And we had a discussion.
It's actually my
there.
Number one worst.
We had a big discussion. We had a three-way tie for the fifth spot, and two of the films were from Noah Baumbach. But instead we went with What We Do in the Shadows, the vampire mockumentary.
Which I had for documentary. I didn't realize it was a mockumentary.
So you guys
had to set me straight on that one.
That vampires aren't real, I'm sorry to say. And all of my choices for Best Animated Feature made the final cut.
Yeah.
It's Inside Out with the big most nominations, or most votes for nomination, and Anomalisa, Shaun the Sheep, The Good Dinosaur, and the Peanuts.
Well, those are kind of the five. I mean, everything else is kind of a lower level. Minions, Hotel Transylvania, things like that.
I hope the Oscars go to five this year. Usually they just go for three on the animated.
And Inside Out seems like a shoe-in for the Oscars.
Oh, sure.
Anomalisa might get some votes, but nobody's going to see Anomalisa.
Come on.
Film critics.
Yeah.
Best song. What the heck are these songs? I don't remember this 007 song. I saw the movie, but the song did not stick with me at all. I don't think it was a very good 007 theme.
Yeah, this may be one of those categories. Maybe in our January meeting, we'll just have to eliminate it because Writings on the Wall is the song from Spectre. See You Again from Furious 7. Feels Like Summer from Shaun the Sheep. Until It Happens to You. From that documentary there on Hallowed Ground, was that the name? The Hunting Ground, I'm sorry. These are the two most confusing categories, Best Music Score and Best Soundtrack. Now, Best Soundtrack is the use of songs. And then Best Music Score is background music, and I always get confused on them. So Best Soundtrack is Love and Mercy, great Beach Boys songs, Straight Outta Compton. Obviously.
Good.
The Martian, I guess for the disco songs. And they were driving Matt Damon crazy in it. Dope, which I guess rap songs. Yeah, rap songs. And Amy.
That Amy Weinstein. This is a dumb category.
Yeah. Again, and Best Music Score.
Now, Best Music Score, that's important. Carol
and Hateful Eight. I'm surprised. I would have thought that Morricone would have gotten more votes from us, but I guess not.
I think some people haven't seen Hateful Eight. They only had the one screening. I missed Hateful Eight.
Follows, which had a nice sort of synthetic, late 70s, early 80s type score. I finally watched that last week. That was very entertaining. And Inside Out, Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max was my number one, but it made it. It made the final cut. And there was a few others. Let's see, Best Art Direction. Let's hurry through these. Carol won Best Art Direction, although Mad Max was a close second. It deserves it. Brooklyn, Danish Girl, Cinderella.
Yes.
Cinderella's a worthy contender.
That'll save you.
Yeah, no doubt. Best Cinematography, The Revenant was number one. Beast of No Nation, which I only saw on TV. It's not the same thing. Carol was an amazing looking film.
Yeah.
A little grainy. I'd like to see what happened there. Hateful Eight, which I have not seen yet. Jim has seen it. And, of course, Mad Max was...
How about Roger Deakins' Sicario, no?
It was a runner-up.
It was okay.
Best editing, of course, Mad Max, way at the top. The Revenant, not too far behind it. The Martian, Spotlight, and The Big Short. We were talking about the editing of The Big Short.
The editing is great on Big Short.
Yeah, and then...
Best Adapted Screenplay?
This one, Carol, I think, is going to get the Oscar nom, but it didn't make our top five. I don't get the love for The Room.
I can see Martian definitely getting a nomination. So we've got Martian, Brooklyn, Room, Steve Jobs, and Creed for adapted screenplay. And Creed could happen.
Creed
too.
Should be an original screenplay, I think.
No.
Well, you're using characters
characters from a previous film, so it's adapted. So
All right,
and original screenplay.
Spotlight, Inside Out, Ex Machina, Hateful Eight, and Clouds of Sils Maria, which I did not see. Let's talk about these actors. This is where it gets interesting. I think Best Supporting Actress. Alicia Vikander for Ex Machina. Good for her. I thought she was excellent. I think I had her number one. You know what? I kind of screwed up, though. I think I put Charlize Theron for number one, but they ended up putting her over an actress, which I wasn't thinking clearly. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
For The Hateful Eight. Yeah. We have our list Heart Eight, but it's The Hateful Eight. She was my number one choice for supporting actress. Yeah. I think she's just
I haven't seen that yet. Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs.
That's a mystery to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. Okay. Well, because her character... doesn't have much. Yeah, and her accent is just all over the place.
Yeah, Rooney Mara for Carol Kristen Stewart for Clouds of Sils Maria, which I, again.
Proving that she can act, and, you know, outside from those vampire films. Supporting actor.
Number one, this is a loaded one.
It's
Sylvester Stallone for Creed. I can see Sylvester Stallone winning the Oscar this
year. Oh, he's got
my vote. Like him.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna. You know, who's not gonna vote for him and want to see him run up there to the Rocky theme music and hold that Oscar? And
there's still a little snobbiness against him, but yeah, I would love to see that.
I think
Oscar night again.
But, if they do send out screeners of Creed, people watch it and see that he's the heart of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's alive when he's on screen.
He created this character. He was nominated for playing this character 40 years ago. You know, he's made a lot of money for Hollywood. He probably has a lot of friends. His son died a couple of years ago. I just think, the emotions are going to kind of be off the chart to give it to Stallone. And frankly, there's not that much competition. Maybe Paul Dano. Who won the San Francisco Award yesterday for lead? Actually, they give it to him for lead. But also, we got Mark Lyons and Bridge of Spies, Mark Ruffalo, Spotlight, Idris Elba, Beast of No Nation, and I said Paul Dana for Love and Mercy. All right.
So that's a tough category. That is just jam packed with great actors.
Yep.
But so we're on to Best Actress.
I'm trying to look at the
what
some of the other people voted for.
Oh,
I voted for Nick Nolte for Walk in the Woods. I guess. You're gonna forget about him.
Though Jacob Tremblay that played Jack in Room got about six nominations. Yeah. As did Michael Shannon for 99 Homes.
Good.
I'd love to see him in there. And Benicio del Toro for Sicario got four. But a lot of love for Walton Goggins in Hateful Eight, this mostly TV actor who's really made a splash in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell is up, got two votes for Big Short. Yeah. Best Actress. This was our
Saoirse Ronan got the most votes for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Followed by Miss Brie Larson for Room. Followed by the wonderful Cate Blanchett for Carol, Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, and Charlize Theron for Mad Max.
Yeah, really?
We went against the marketers on Danish Girl because we think that Alicia is a lead in that. She's not supporting.
Anybody put in Charlotte Rampling for 45
she had
years?
She had the next vote.
Yay,
I suspect the Oscars are going to give... My guess is that the Oscars will give Vikander supporting actors for Ex Machina and nothing for Danish Girl.
When the SAG noms came out. Oof, what a mess that was.
I don't think Danish Girl's going to do all that well. I don't know.
It seems like just too obvious Oscar bait. But some people, when we go to Best Actor, some people did get taken in by that for Eddie Redmayne for Best Actor.
I'm surprised Jennifer Lawrence didn't get more votes. I voted for her.
Yeah, I did. I did also.
I think she's going to have a lot of momentum when Oscar season rolls around because that movie's not going to open until January, and I think it's going to do really, really well. I think audiences are going to connect to it. And she's made a lot of money for Hollywood, starring in these goofy Hunger Game movies.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it might be a good year for her again. I do think that Bradley Cooper will not receive his fourth consecutive nomination for Joy. I mean, he's quite good in Joy, but it's not that important
of a role.
It's not that flashy of a role. I think De Niro might get nominated for Joy if that movie does really well.
If it weren't such a stacked year for supporting actor, I would say so, but I don't think De Niro's got
a chance.
Did he get any votes from our guys?
No.
All right, let's move on to Best Actor. Leo DiCaprio got the most votes for the St. Louis Film Critics for The Revenant.
Yes.
Ian McKellen got quite a few votes for Mr. Holmes.
That's good to see.
Yeah. Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl. Blah.
Yeah.
Matt Damon for The Martian. And Abraham Atta for Beast of No Nation, who I don't see landing in their Oscars, except maybe supporting.
Yeah. Well, I think that our next to that choice, Bryan Cranston, that got five votes. He could get in the Best Actor.
Maybe. I think Tom Hardy was my number one. He certainly deserves it. I guess Legend's not doing particularly well, and some people don't like it that much. Although you can't deny that Hardy was just spectacular playing these two roles.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hardy's got a better chance of getting supporting for Revenant than for
I think
our
best
they'll actor.
Do that instead of giving him the lead, but I think he deserves it in the lead. Who else? Michael Fassbender didn't do very well for Steve Jobs.
I
think he was kind of the front runner a few months ago until people actually saw the movie.
had you already said Trumbo, Bryan Cranston?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a possibility. Yeah.
Somebody voted for Lucas Schwartz for Goodnight Mommy. Why didn't they vote for the other kid?
They did. Well, they did. That's the only one that this person that voted at listed both of the twins in it. So. But that was the only one. Lynn didn't want to go to over two lines, when she was typing this
all
up.
Right.
But
Jason Segel, friend of the tour, I think he was getting a lot of buzz a few months ago, but people seem to have forgotten that film. Yeah, Will Smith and for Concussion. I guess we'll review Concussion next week.
Yeah, that's another Christmas Day one.
Yeah, right. And he's really good in the film. He's kind of low key though, and he does a good job with his accent. You know, some people do these accents are all over the place. He's very consistent in his accent.
I think the trouble is the film itself, and that
it's not a very good film.
Yeah,
it's not a bad film, but it's
it's
not an outstanding film. Okay, let's move to Best Director. Far and away, I think George Miller seems to be dominating all the Film Critics Awards, including the St. Louis Film Critics Award. He just did an amazing job with Mad Max.
Unbelievable.
And I'm glad he's won. And
directing like a man half his age.
Yeah, Tom McCartney spotlight, I don't get that at all. I think that was the weakness of the film, that it wasn't directed with much style or cinematic flair. It seemed like it was sort of a TV movie, the way it was directed. It was a great script and well acted, but I don't see him. Well, I don't know.
I think it could happen.
He's not going to win. Ridley Scott for The Martian.
Yay.
He's a veteran filmmaker. How old is he? He's got to be 70.
Yeah.
He's been around since Alien and Blade Runner.
And that's why he might just win the Oscar.
Gladiator won Best Picture, and he didn't win Best Oscar.
Because he didn't give himself the PGA nom in there.
Is that
the
what happened?
Yeah, he wasn't a producer on it.
Yeah, and Black Hawk Down, and so many great movies. So good for Ridley Scott. Alejandro Iñárritu, who just won Best Director last year for Birdman, will be nominated and is nominated for the St. Louis Critics for Revenant. And Todd Haynes for Carol. I met Todd Haynes once. Hmm. Nowhere at Webster U. He showed his movie called Poison, which was, did you ever see that? It was this.
Oh, is that the one with Julianne Moore when she thinks that
the
environment?
No, that's safe.
That's safe, okay.
Poison was three stories as an anthology. Three stories about being gay. It was not one of his better known films. So those are the five directors that St. Louis film critics need to choose from. I can't imagine George Miller not winning that. Okay, best film, we had six.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a four-way tie, my goodness. So we went to six, yeah.
Yeah, Carol didn't do so well with the St. Louis critics.
Not for best picture.
We got Spotlight, Room, Inside Out, Mad Max, Martian, and Revenant. Again, I don't see Room as the best picture material at all. It's an okay film. I think I gave it 3 out of 5.
I think if they go to 10 nominations at the Oscars, I think Inside Out and Room could both get in there if they go to 10.
I don't know. Brooklyn didn't get our nom.
Really?
Carol didn't get one of our noms.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn.
Anna Melissa.
Brooklyn, yeah, it's going to be
The Big Short
the
didn't
race.
Get one of our noms.
Yeah,
the Rational Man didn't get one of our noms.
The Big Short didn't either?
Well, two people voted for Big Short for Best Picture. That was it.
Somebody voted for Suffragette.
Yeah. Okay.
I voted for.
You know who did. I will tell you.
No, I don't know.
I'll tell you later.
What We Do in the Shadows, that was one of the ones I voted for.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't realize that wasn't a documentary.
Yeah, that's an entertaining film.
All right, so that's the St. Louis Film Critics Association, and we will have our winners announced next week. All kinds of other Film Critics Associations announced their award winners this week. Michelle, why don't you take it from here?
The Screen Actors Guild also announced their nominations.
Yes.
So that was last week. That was early. And boy, did that put all the pundits in just a big, kerfuffle and a quandary. I mean, you had Trumbo. That led the SAGs. And that the SAGs are announced January 30th. And Dame Helen Mirren. Beasts of No Nation had two. The Big Short had two. Carol had two. Danish Girl. Room. Spotlight. Steve Jobs all had two. So the SAGs put just everybody. The nominations.
How many
just
did a Rational Man have?
Then the day after, the Golden Globes came out, and that seemed more streamlined with how everybody's picturing the noms to go.
The
Golden Globes don't matter. That's the whole.
Well, it's a big, nice party, but
as far as Academy voters.
But with SAG, the one that threw me for a tizzy was them, giving a Best Actor to Johnny Depp for Black Mass.
Yeah.
Although not as bad as giving Mark Ruffalo a nom for Infinitely Polar Bear.
I know. That
was in comedy over at the Golden Globes, right?
Now, with the
That should win Worst Title. If they have such an award.
Now, at the Globes, Carol, that had the most noms, the Golden Globe noms, with 5. And then followed by The Big Short and The Revenant and Steve Jobs with 4.
So nothing really dominated over at the Golden Globes.
No, there's going to be a lot of love spread this award season. Danish Girl with 3, Hateful Eight, Martian, Room with 3. Going to be an interesting, and everything now is kind of quiet until the guilds announced. So we've got the DGA coming up, the PGA producers.
Jane Fonda and Youth. Jim saw Youth. Did you see Youth?
I saw Youth.
I did. I saw that last night.
They should have had Joe Pesci in it and called it Ute.
And the Academy Awards nominations are January 14th. And
Jane Fonda will get nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, I would think not. That's just a goofy role, really? And you know, well, a lot of that film is kind of goofy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's a Christmas release. Also,
I know that just seems like an odd.
Yeah, it's the movie.
Wouldn't it be funny to hear Rachel Weisz's name announced?
Yeah.
But they gave it to Sylvester Stallone and Michael Shannon didn't. The St. Louis guys didn't like Michael Shannon, I guess.
Oh, that's
or
that's,
did we?
Well, we liked him, but not enough.
Oh yeah, he got six.
Yeah,
not
so
quite enough.
Just
yeah.
not quite enough.
All right, but, I watched that movie on the screener last week. It is a good movie, but it's not a great movie. Mm-hmm. I think Andrew Garfield's character sort of
he's kind of whiny.
Brings it down a bit.
And do you really buy him as Laura Dern's son? In it, yeah. Really? You know, I don't think so. And but it's alive when Michael Shannon's on the screen.
No, definitely.
He's just plowing through there like a.
But
bull.
It's good that some of these films are in limited release, so they kind of just they'll stay simmering in you know Oscar voters' minds until it finally you know because at the end of the month is when they have to get their ballots in.
Yeah, but why do they do music or comedy?
For
why
the
do they even still do that? I mean, good grief, is The Martian a comedy or a musical?
Right,
it has that disco music in it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Then they have to really dig to find. You know, nominees. I mean, Al Pacino and Danny Collins.
Well, that's so that they show up and so people will turn in.
Yeah, I was going to say
the
at
Globes
least
are all about.
I was going to say the Globes didn't nominate Angelina or Johnny Depp, so at least they're you know doing mm-hmm. it a little
oh,
better
they did
than
nominate,
they did.
They did nominate Johnny Depp.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
they did.
The actor in a drama
For Black Mass.
Black Mass.
But they didn't throw one to Angelina to try to get her to go to the awards, huh? By the Sea.
However,
actress or director or writer.
Right, but you know what? She'll show up with Brad Pitt because they were nominated for, you know, The Big Short was nominated for a Globe. So chances are they will be there together to support The Big Short.
We'll say, yeah. But it's not as blatant as when they put The Tourist up for two or three Globes. Ricky Gervais?
No, remember when Scent of a Woman won Best Picture?
Was it Scent of a Woman?
Yeah, Scent of a Woman. That was kind of scandalous.
Oh, not like Pia Zadora.
I was just going to say that.
Hey, no, I like Pia Zadora.
Yes, but
she was great in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah, true. But I mean, as you know, I think she was up. She won for best newcomer over Kathleen Turner,
right.
In Body Heat.
That's her
was
claim
it,
to
was
fame.
Butterfly, the name of the film she was
Butterfly,
in? With Orson Welles was in that film. Yeah.
But we are movie geeks. Found out over the weekend that we have received credentials to cover the Oscar nominations in California on January 14th.
Oh.
So we are one of a few selected outlets. Invited to the Academy.
Nice.
So
Ruby,
that's
you gonna fly out there?
That's we'll have to see. I'll definitely be out there for Oscar week, but we may have somebody cover the nominations out there again.
We've got some stringers out in LA.
Oh yeah. It's always a nice email to receive that we've been invited back because I know of sites and outlets that, you know, each year do put in for credentials and unfortunately don't receive them. So it's a nice little feather on We Are Movie Geeks cap.
Well, what do they go out? They go out live at like 5:30 in the morning.
5:30 in the morning. So journalists show up at 3:30 a.m. for the breakfast beforehand.
Oh my
good
goodness!
Grief.
Yeah. That's a full day. I tell you.
It is.
I was going to say a couple of new trailers. We're going to talk about those. No.
Well.
Yeah. Quickly. And one that just came out today, the first Star Trek trailer for Star Trek Beyond came out.
Official. Okay.
Paramount Pictures just released that today, so we'll have that up on the site. We had X-Men Apocalypse, which has been getting some kind of buzz for how the apocalypse looks in the trailer. Independence Day Resurgence released their first trailer. That's from 20th Century Fox. That's also up on the site. That is that's a very serious trailer. That's they're not kidding around. That's headlined by Jeff Goldblum.
And Legend of Tarzan.
Legend of Tarzan. That's Warner Brother Pictures. Hardcore. That actually looks really good. That's got some big names in it. That's what you need around. Fine. True Blood.
Did they bring back Miles O'Keefe?
No.
Okay.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, next trailer for that is out.
Oh boy, let's see who draws the short straw to review that one. Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up, though, but we'll be back next week. We can review Star Wars and Sisters and probably a couple more of these Christmas movies we'll go ahead and review next week. But we're going to have to wrap it up for now. My name's Tom Stockman.
Michelle McHugh.
Jim Batts.
And listen again next week.
Black leather, rock, rock, rock. Black leather, ta-ta-ta. Black leather, black leather.
Oh, naughty, Steve. Hello, Don.
Hey. Black leather, rock, rock, rock. Black leather.
leather, black leather, ta-ta-ta. Black leather, hip-hip-hip. I got that feeling, black leather rocks.